get off your couch and follow Anderson's for fun, because with Anderson's, nothing beats these treats.
I wondered what happened to you in the middle of that Anderson's. Oh, you were almost finished?
Yeah, I was almost done. Usually, commercials on WGN run either 30 seconds or 60 seconds, but I had a 12-minute read. That's a long commercial, isn't it? That's almost a docudrama.
I'm a bit of a stickler, and I like to have things sound perfect.
Sure.
And
are you a perfectionist? Would you say you're a perfectionist?
Not in all things.
Yeah.
Like, I should worry about my wardrobe a little better.
Ah.
It's radio.
Just clothes.
I go for comfort. I want to be comfortable.
For comfort, right.
So do you.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
I mean,
same
we're,
thing.
We're better than we used to be. My clothes are clean.
Yeah, mostly clean, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes I hit wrong buttons and it bothers me. I get really mad at myself. And there are sometimes other people hit wrong buttons and they don't get that mad.
Mm-mm. I noticed that. You should come in. I mean, you can't come in on the days you're out of town, but when I'm running the board, I just hit buttons at random just to see what happens. It's amazing.
I bet you do an okay job.
Yeah, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but you learn.
Yeah,
you live and learn, Wendy. That's what you do. You live and you learn.
But you were telling us about, you know, the Anderson's candy. And
nothing beats these treats, I was saying. And then things go. The transition is very difficult, you know, because we're in a studio and Steve's in a different studio and a team of engineers have to be called in to switch stuff and press buttons. It's not easy.
You know, it's been nothing but trouble since we had two studios, because the first day that the stream was back, Steve Bertrand wanted to be in this studio. We're in my opinion, the better studio.
Right.
But they're all pretty darn nice,
right.
I'll tell you that.
Right.
Thanks to Allstate, the Allstate Skyline Studio. We can see the skyline. I like this one. You can kind of see the skyline a little bit from the other one's too.
Okay.
But Bertrand wanted to be in this studio, and after the first day, he said he didn't want to be in the studio anymore. So that's fine with us. It's silly for us to change studios during our show.
Right.
I know we did it before, but there weren't any other options.
Well, in the other place, we had to go outside, we had to go upstairs, we had to get a cab, we had to, it was different, you were in a different, I mean, this is just walking down the hall, but I wasn't in there for that, I was on vacation, you and Steve, it got crazy, right?
No, it didn't get that crazy, but it was so funny, because prior to the stream picking back up again, Bertrand's like, well, I want the studio that looks at the lake. And I said, well, it's silly for us to change. And he goes, oh, well, that's where I'm going to be. So on that first day, he came and stood behind me after our crosstalk, and he's ready to do the Wintrust business lunch. And I said, oh, you better hurry and get in the other studio. He goes, you better.
Oh, no, it came to that.
And I said, what do you mean? He goes, I'm using this studio. And I said, I was told we were staying here. So I let it go, whatever. I'm like, it's growing pains. We're figuring this out.
Yeah.
And then I was ready to come in the next day and say, you know what? You're right. Maybe we should switch studios. And that's when Steve always likes to be difficult, says, I don't want to switch studios. I want to go to the other one. You and Bill have your fun. So it all worked out.
I think maybe because Steve is so tall, he's used to just being able to crane his neck a little bit. And no matter where he is, he can see the lake. He's that tall. So if you take that away from him, he loses his bearings. You know that.
Yeah.
But it all worked out well. We're happy in this one. He's happy in the other one.
And, you know, we missed a little bit of, we had a little bit of dead air, but.
We'll fix that tomorrow. Tomorrow it'll be a fresh start.
No guarantee of that.
We'll try to fix it tomorrow.
All right.
We'll try our best to fix it tomorrow.
You know what I meant to tell you just very quickly?
What?
I really enjoy flying Southwest. I really do. You get a good fare. You get good people. They have snacks. People are silly on an airplane. On our flight out to L.A., the flight attendant came down and said, do you want any snacks? There will be no peanuts on this flight because someone has peanut allergies. Peanut allergies. I'm like forgetting to talk today. I need Vanna White. I keep leaving letters out.
You know what you're doing is you're streamlining the process. You're saying, who needs all 26 letters? Let's try to go with 12 or 13.
Make it more like the Hawaiian alphabet.
Yeah, it's better that way.
So the flight attendant said there will be no peanuts on this flight.
Scott can't have peanuts and just pointed at a guy.
So she continued to say, you know, we have Fritos, we have these Belvita cookies, we have this, we have that.
Yeah.
And then the guy sitting in the seat next to me goes, can I have some peanuts? And I felt like going, did
right
you
after, right
hear
after
her say that?
What?
I'd like just pay attention.
Did he do it to be...
No, he said, can I have some peanuts? And she said, there are no peanuts on this flight, sir. And he said, why not? And she said, really friendly, like I would have slapped him if I was the flight attendant. She just said, as I explained to you, there is someone on board with a peanut allergy, so there won't be any peanuts on this flight. Can I get you something else? She was so nice. And then coming home...
You'd make for a lousy flight attendant.
I would
go,
be
hey,
terrible.
Dorcas, what did I just say? Did I just say you can't have peanuts and now you're coming at me with the peanuts?
I would. I couldn't hold back.
No, it's part of the job. You have to be pleasant even when confronted with somebody who's obviously not paying attention. You have to be, you know, your best. You represent the company. You got to show, okay, perhaps some of us weren't listening.
I guess.
But I know you. You'd press the rewind button on your nose. Let's review what I already said. There will be no peanuts on this flight.
I'm not that clever. Although on Southwest, you can get away with it. It's almost like the Ed DeBevics of,
I know.
And they're great. I love them. And the fares are great. Yeah. And seriously, you get the two free bags.
Don't you want to know your assigned seat, though?
No,
don't
I mean,
you,
we...
You don't want to know that?
Who cares?
I'm always in zone 8. It's no matter when I reserve my flight.
You can pay extra. It's like an extra.
Do you want to pay extra for that?
Yeah, it's like $10 and it gets you in the first boarding. We were like A40, so
I'm always boarded they board everybody and then they go, "Is there anyone is Bill here?" And then I'm always the last one. Yes, I'm here.
And some other guy named Bill comes up and takes your seat.
Yeah, that's every time.
We get Jim just handled it and he got the early, not early boarding, but he got like the A.
Yeah.
You know, you can pay. It's a minimal amount extra and then you don't have to worry about 24 hours out, you know, going online and checking in. This is just done.
You know, if you're not computer savvy, and I'm not, I just, all that stuff just goes right through me. The mere act of traveling from city to city, which used to be very easy, you would get your tickets in the mail or you go to a travel agent, they would print out a ticket, and then when you got there, you'd show them you have a ticket, and they let you through. But now everything is swiping a phone or typing in a code and stuff, and I think if I'm bad at it, there's got to be somebody on the planet worse than me. How do they get from here to Phoenix? I have no idea how you do it. Every time I've traveled, with one exception in the last 5 years, either my wife or one of my daughters has been with me, and they
handle everything.
Now move your phone across the screen. And if they didn't do that, I wouldn't know what to
do. You'd figure it out.
I guess eventually, but I'd have to get to the airport 5 hours early just to do normal stuff. Because everything is, like it never occurs to me when I'm flying now to reserve a seat 24 hours in advance, to go online and say...
Right, that's why you just get an early boarding. I swear to God, much. It's like $10 extra a ticket.
But you should you have to pay that?
Yeah, because that's why the fares are so low on Southwest, because they don't have assigned seats.
Is it Southwest? All right, I've made reservations, or tried to make reservations twice, where if you call in the reservation... It costs you an extra $40 or $50 per ticket. But if you do it online on your own, there is no fee.
Yeah, but you could always say, I was checking prices online. Why is it different? And I'll bet you they made it.
Yeah.
You got to ask questions.
I guess so.
Where are the peanuts?
Yeah, I want my peanuts.
But on the way back, the flight attendant, and I should have recorded it. She sang a whole little ditty. And I enjoyed it. I got to tell you. At first, I was like, and then I got sucked into it and really enjoyed it. She had a lovely voice.
Yeah.
And she was just singing about, that's why we fly Southwest. And everybody was clapping along. This is before we took off from L.A. to Chicago. And it was very pleasant.
I don't want any of that on my flight. I just want them to get me there safely. I don't want to be on Ted Mack's Amateur Hour. They're all performing bits. Some stand-up, and I don't remember who it was, said that every time they fly, they resent the fact that it's such an easy audience on an airplane. Because when you're in a comedy club, you really got to sweat to make the show.
You're right.
But on an airplane, no matter what they say, people go, oh, it's like George Carlin is working the flight. This is the greatest.
You give me a great idea. I've always wanted to try stand-up. I'll be a flight attendant first.
For a while, they brought stand-up
onto
flights.
They did not.
Yeah. Now, I never did that. Because how horrible could that be?
No one really wants that.
No,
they just want to get to their destination.
No one wants that.
Most people, I have to tell you, are sound asleep before the flight even takes off.
They don't want to be bothered by witty sayings and stuff. You just want to get there safely, don't you?
Yeah, well, this woman did a really sweet job, and I really enjoyed myself. And I should have videotaped it, because you know how everybody puts it up and it goes viral then.
Right.
She was probably hoping someone did, but I figured, you know, if you're not calling for help, let somebody else videotape
it. Right.
I was busy candy crushing, man.
I still remember a joke. So, all right, keep in mind, I haven't done stand-up for 23 years.
You should get back into it. You're so good.
Nah. All right, so this was, we land in St. Louis, and it was a very bumpy landing, like the bumpiest landing I've ever had. So the flight attendant comes on and says, sorry about the landing, folks. It wasn't your fault. It wasn't my fault. It was the asphalt. And the crowd went wild.
I would have laughed at that.
It was like, it was like people were being tickled to death by that joke. And I just sat there going, really? That made people laugh that hard. Good for her.
It's a dad joke for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But it works when you're on an airplane.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it cuts
the tension.
I guess so.
That's what you want to do. And it's so funny. Prior to our trip, you were talking about the exit row.
Yeah.
And that I would totally trust you.
Yes.
Sitting in the exit row, both on our flight to and fro, midway to L.A.,
mm-hmm.
Jimmy Mac wanted to sit in the exit row.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I am not sitting there with you. I do not want to be responsible for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you know, there are three seats across. Why don't you and the boys sit in front of me and I'll sit in the exit row? And we all agreed. We're like, fine.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first time I guess I paid attention because Jim was doing it. And they go through and say, you know, I do need a verbal yes that you... And then I'm listening to make sure Jim did it because I was going to go, he does not belong there. He did not give you a verbal yes.
Oh, no.
But he did. He said yes. And then I get up to use the facilities as the, you know, when the seatbelt light went off. And I look, and Jimmy Mac is sound asleep with his headphones on.
Oh, no.
The guy next to him is sound asleep and snoring. Really, what caught my attention is I thought it was Jim snoring. It wasn't.
Yeah.
It was the guy next to him. And then there was a third guy that was sound asleep. Now, I guess you don't need to be called upon unless there's an emergency. And I guess some kind of rock in the airplane would wake them up. But it's like, I don't know. At first I got mad and then I thought they're not useful right now. I don't need them unless there's an emergency.
Horrible.
But but why is that horrible?
Because the three guys needed to get together and say, we'll do this in shifts. Who wants the first watch? Who wants the second watch? Yeah. You got to, one of the exit row sentinels must at all times be awake and alert.
But see, I really...
Your lives were in danger because of this.
Well, I did think that at first. I was ready to wake each and every one of them up. And then I thought, there's no job for them right now. Their only job is in case of an emergency, they need to play the part of the flight attendant because they said the flight attendant we may be with you, we may not, but you need to act and help evacuate the plane in case of an emergency. That's in case of an emergency. Otherwise, it's business as usual.
But every second counts. You watch The Walking Dead. They always have a guy up in the tower day and night just to make sure that no zombies come. I know that you're not going to get zombies in the skies, but one of those guys.
You don't know that.
Well, you hope that
bird zombies.
But bird zombies. But you gotta divvy up the time. You go, okay, we're flying to Los Angeles. It's 4 hours and 12 minutes or something like that. You take the first hour 20. You take the second hour 20. You take the third hour 20. You gotta do that. You can't. All three guys can't be down at one time.
You stayed awake in your exit room?
Oh yeah, awake and alert.
You'd be over panicky then.
I was pretty even tempered all throughout. I just wanted to make sure that everybody got there safely. And then it was done. The captain came out. He thanked me. We high-fived.
Did you stay by the cockpit on the way out and thank
everybody
for flying?
Thanks for flying Delta. Did you have a good experience? I was your monitor. Yeah, why is that funny?
Please rate me.
I wouldn't be. Yeah, I'm on.
I get a free flight if I get 10 and up, 10 wings and up.
What's the website that people rate you for? Travel Advisor, Trip Advisor?
Yeah, there's that.
Hi, my name's Bill.
Yelp.
Put me down on Trip Advisor, and I'm on Etsy if you want to look me up on Etsy. Yeah, that had to be done. I wanted people to ask for me next time they fly with Delta. Is Bill around? Because last time we flew, that guy was great.
Oh, Exit Row Bill?
Yeah, he's with us. He'll come out. Yeah, I want people to know that if I'm on the flight, that it gets done right.
I'm so seeing the flight attendants thanking everybody for flying, and then you just standing there with your baseball cap on.
Sir, you're free to leave the plane. Not till everybody's off safely, ma'am.
Oh, my God.
I know my job.
You are so funny.
All right, let's take a quick break. Judy Pilak will be in. She'll give you some news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN.
All right, we are on the stream, the bonus hour, Bill Leff Unleashed. That's what we like to call it. And it's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, and I'm unleashed all the time.
Yes.
You are very much...
Yes, I save it off for this 1 hour of the day.
You know, we were talking about sitting in an exit row, Judy, and my husband sat in the exit row on our flight and fell asleep. And at first I was bothered because all three guys were asleep. And Bill's like, no, you got to take individual watch time. But the more I think about it... There's no need to use them unless there's an emergency.
Right. There's no need to sit there and stare at the door the whole flight.
Right.
Yeah. But, as long as you wake up and usher people out.
But Bill was hanging out at the end of the flight to thank people when he was exit row Bill.
Yeah.
Because he was a large part of the flight's success.
Yes.
So we need a fire marshal here at the new building. Why don't you do that?
I'd volunteer for that.
Let me show you something.
I'd be for that.
I was the elevator marshal at the old building.
Were you?
I had
really?
A vest.
That's
oh.
right. Oh, you
I
get
did.
A vest, Bill.
Do you think I ever went to any of the training or anything?
Judy.
No. And my job was to usher people, to keep people off the elevator during
to remind
an emergency.
Them.
What training do you have to do?
Exactly.
Go the other way,
and
stupid.
Me especially. I was like, exactly. What do you think you're doing? Yeah.
Bright orange
vest? Use the stairs.
What color
yes.
vest? Yeah.
I think I brought it over from the old place.
Did you?
So
yeah.
I may have it if you want to use it.
Oh, yeah, I might need
if you want to use
that.
It, Bjorn.
Yeah, thank you.
Because there was something to be said about being on the first floor at Tribune Tower.
Yes.
If there was ever...
An emergency.
Yeah.
Whoop, 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 out the front door.
And I am... I don't know. I don't know why I do this, but I do... look around, you know, see something, say something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am just one of those people whenever at night when I'm leaving, I look around, I see where the security
too.
Guards are, when those gates are open downstairs, it bugs me.
Be aware of your surroundings.
Yes,
you have to
always,
be these days.
Always.
I have found myself in the last couple of years, if I'm in a place like a movie theater or a shopping center, whatever like that, I do like to know where the exits
yep.
are just in case.
Yep.
You know, you just take a
Everyone
quick look
should.
Around.
Right.
There's one over there. There's one
That's
over there.
Two reasons. One is the sign of the times and what things are happening
right.
these days. And the other is you're getting old.
Right. Well, in a movie theater, I think to myself, what if I'm sitting there and Kevin Hart shows up in this movie? I got to figure out the fastest way out of this theater. Right. Sometimes they don't warn you. It
and
just
I
shows
think
up.
It's getting, I think it's getting being more experienced with life. You know, like I'm more aware. Before I was, you know, I had my mind on other things.
Well,
now,
you'd like to believe for most of your life that something horrible wasn't going to happen. You wouldn't have to.
You have to be prepared now.
Yes,
yeah.
you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's stupid not to. And especially in crowds. I
right.
mean, know what you're going to do. I would like to think I would be a helper.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I probably wouldn't. But at least.
I bet you
know
would
my,
be.
Yeah, I don't know. When my kids were little and they got hurt, I never responded.
What do you mean?
I mean, I like froze. When they were choking. Yes, I panicked.
Yeah.
And it really bothers me that happened. So, like, three instances where I didn't move and someone else did.
Okay, I moved when my kids got injured, and but I often yelled at them. And I hate to say this, when I was, I had an ovarian cyst many years ago, and I had called my mom, she was at my aunt's house, and I said, you know, I got this sharp pain on my right side, I don't know what it is, I think it might be an appendix attack, and she goes, well, you know what? Call me back if you throw up.
Oh.
I'm going to wait and pick up your sister at the train. And so then I threw up, and I'm like, Mom, I'm serious. Something's happening. So she's like, all right. Well, I guess your sister will have to walk home from the train 2 blocks. So she comes to get me and takes me to the emergency room. She takes the bumpiest road in all of Riverside, and the whole time there she's going, you smoke, you drink, you don't eat the right foods. I don't know what it is, but it's probably your fault. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, right now is not what I need. But that's what I learned. So I find out that, like, I don't yell at my kids, but I yell because I'm worried, you
right.
know? It's like, why did you do that? But I'm not really asking them. I'm just kind of
that's
emoting.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Wow.
But I that's bad, but at least I can react. You I honestly froze in your tracks where you couldn't.
One time my son came up. He had it. And, of course, I yelled at him about the jawbreaker later. Oh, yeah, why don't you have another jawbreaker? You know, those
yeah.
huge balls.
Yeah.
What, did
it's
it get
like
stuck
a baseball.
In his throat?
Yep. He came into the room. I was laying down reading. And he runs into the parlor, and he's like, you know, obviously he's giving me the sign. And my husband at the time, you know, Terrence is upstairs. And I, instead of getting up, I'm yelling to Terrence, Luke is choking, and he yells back down.
Help
this
him.
Is in our big house.
Yeah.
Luke's on the roof.
Oh.
And I'm like, no, he's choking. And he had to, like, run down. But that's what I think. Luke was like, are you kidding me? Oh. And probably ran upstairs and then got it out.
Why do you think you weren't able to? Because your natural reaction in a case like that is, I got to
right,
do something.
Jump up. Yeah, no.
Why did you?
But and, you wanted your husband at the time to take care of it, too.
I feel like I'm incapable of moving. And that's funny, that story you told about your mom, because I remember my mother sticking her, pretty much her whole hand, down my brother's throat when he was choking on something and pulling. You know what I mean?
She just went
so
into
she
action.
Was a, yeah, so you would think I would be like that. But no, instead I'm... And when my kids have, you know, gotten down the stairs in their... Those little things that you're never supposed to... You're supposed to have gates, you know.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The walkers. And
yes.
Everyone's like, don't even have a walker because the accidents... Oh, no. Twice. And the second time, I stood there and said, if we go to the hospital, I am not admitting that he was in a walker.
Oh, no.
You make me feel so much better as a mother when I hear
but
your
that
stories.
Conlon, the other son, went down the stairs in the walker and literally landed upside down on his head. And I thought
oh,
I saw
God.
Like his head bashed in. Oh. And I just.
Oh, my God, Judy.
I know. I was like, oh. And my brother in law happened to be next to me and he ran down and picked him up. It was wet leaves by the back door.
Wow. That could have been so much worse.
I know. He was fine.
Oh.
You know, people listen to the stream.
You've heard me, maybe you haven't, the Super Bowl story with my daughter Reese.
Oh. No.
When
share
they were it. Little, whenever I'd go to Toys R Us with them, which was often.
Yeah.
How many times? So you could buy toys.
Yeah. come look at the toys that I'm going to get and you guys can't have any. All right. So they had, as you're leaving that Toys R Us, there's a series of those little machines that you could either get gum or candy or toys, you know, really,
right.
You know, small quarter ones. And the girls loved Super Balls and the Super Balls that they had in that one. Remember the Super Balls that were mostly clear but had glitter in
I
them?
Loved
those were the best, right? My daughters were so enchanted with those. Every time they went, they each wanted a Super Bowl. So I'd say, if you guys are good, you absolutely get a Super Bowl.
As he spends $800 on his stuff.
That seems fair.
Oh, I don't have a quarter.
What's
sorry.
The problem with that? It all balances out. So I give Kylie hers. I give Reese hers.
It's the way the ball bounces.
We get in the car. We're driving home. I'm asking the girls a question, and only Kylie is answering. And I go, Reese, how come you're not answering? And Kylie goes, because she can't breathe. And I... Which is a good reason to not answer. I look in the rearview mirror.
Why wasn't Kylie trying to get your attention or help her?
Kylie seemed very happy just playing with
I'm the favorite ball. Twin.
Exactly. She was like, ew, I'm going to be the only twin in a minute.
When I look back, Reese is like reaching outward but can't say anything because she put the Super Bowl in her mouth and it was blocking her windpipe.
Yeah.
And I pulled over and I dug it out with my finger. I pushed my finger into her throat and pulled it out like that. But... Who knows what would have happened if it went another minute?
And I hope that I would have been like that if I'm the only adult.
You
but there's always
you
someone
would've.
There. There's
right.
always that's what I feel like I always deflect to who's ever there.
Well, I called Terrence and I go, Terrence, Reese is choking on a Super Bowl.
He's like,
she's
is
on
she
the roof?
Roof?
No, she's not on the roof. She's in her baby seat. Why do you ask that question? That's a,
I
oh
have
my
a story
gosh.
Too where I'm not mean to my kids, but you know, you're comfortable with your own family. So it's like, if something happens, it's like, why did you do
you
that?
You want to scare them. That's what we're doing. We're
I don't
not being
know.
Mean.
I
yeah.
just think we don't
I
know
think
how
it
to
is.
React.
We're so scared that that's what happens. We're so, that at least me, I react
sure.
the same way because I'm so horrified by what happened that I want to like instill some of that fear
yeah.
in them.
Maybe, but there's a lightsaber incident, but we should probably take a break and
oh,
do,
yeah,
some,
do
news.
Some news. Right, yeah, yeah.
But it involved another kid at my house,
yeah.
and I will tell you what happened with the lightsaber.
All right. Here's news first.
Wait, should we take a break?
We did the
oh,
break.
Oh, no, we did? I'm
yeah,
all confused.
We did the break.
All right,
yeah.
we'll do news first and then stick around for the lightsaber story.
Oh, I will.
Whenever you say pre-dawn, I expect you to start singing Delta Dawn, because I know that's your favorite
yes,
song.
Yes, I only sing it on special occasions.
Oh, I can't wait for
I guess
special occasions.
That's
when I'm auditioning, you know, on America's Got Talent or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, well, that is a special occasion. Wendy, you promised us a story, please.
Lightsaber
what is it?
Story.
Well, here's the thing. You know, whenever something happens, Judy was saying that she freezes, and she wondered if she was the fire marshal here, if she'd do anything.
Right.
I think if push came to shove, you work really hard. So if you had the title, you would do it to its best.
I would hope so. And plus, I feel like, because all those stories were when my kids were little, now I'm aware of that. And so I'm really, like, on a mission to be more aggressive that way. I'm more aggressive in certain instances that I would, you know, I would be quiet at when someone, I would see something, and now I always speak up. So I'm hoping I would do that in a physical nature
as well. I hope so.
Yes, for your sakes, I hope
Our lives are in your hands.
Yeah. Don't use the elevators in a fire.
All right.
I trust one of you to slap me during an emergency situation, because I will be the screaming, yelling lady.
And now that I think about it, I did rescue some children from drowning. So that
did you?
Did you really?
I did, including one of my own. So, but go ahead. Tell us the latest.
All right. So my friend Lisa and I were out in the backyard on the patio having a beer, and the kids were playing in the house. They were old enough. I mean, like in third grade, second grade, something like that. And we have a loft bedroom that looks down into the family room. We have since put windows there to close it off, but this was wide open. And Lisa's son Eric was downstairs, Dylan was upstairs, and Eric's like, "Hey, do you have another lightsaber?" a saber? And Dylan's like, "Yeah, here, catch." And he threw it, and it hit Eric on the head. And it's plastic, and it's not really that tall. So, you know, again, his mom and I were outside having a beer. It was a nice, sunny summer afternoon. And all of a sudden, I don't hear any noise in the house. So I'm like, oh, my God, they're getting along. Everything's great. My older son, Michael, probably in fifth grade at the time, comes out, and it's like, "Mom, I think you better come inside." And I'm like, "What's going on?" And it's like, "I think you better see this." But I didn't overreact. I just went in, and I look at Eric, and it's like the scene from Carrie where she has the pig blood dripping down from her head, because head wounds bleed a lot.
Yeah.
So I see this kid, and I swear to God, you guys, my kid was there too, feeling bad, because it was not intentional at all. And I look at Eric, and there's blood just dripping down the side of his face, and he looks scared. And I just went, "Oh my word! Let's see what's going on. Let's get you a little paper towel." I completely switched, because my reaction, I wanted to go, "Oh my God, that's horrible!" But I just switched everything around. I got a paper towel. I got some ice, and then I'm like calling his mom. I'm going, "You know, I think you better come in here." And she didn't have a really good reaction. She was panicky, and I don't blame her, because it was her kid.
Right.
It seems like, I remember Dr. John Duffy's in all the time, and a lot of child psychology books say treat your children like you would the neighbor's kid, because you're always nicer to the neighbor's kid.
Yeah.
And more, "Oh, that's not that bad."
Right.
Whereas if it's your kid, yeah.
"What did you do? You're going to die.
Right.
You'll lose a limb."
See, and that must have happened with my drowning incident, because there were two other kids and mine, and I saved mine last. Because I knew she could swim. I knew Kaylee, and she wasn't as panicked as the other two were, screaming and just floundering. I mean, they were going to die. So we had to get them
first.
Where
did this happen, Jude?
This is in Florida. And it was, you know, how many drownings we've had now with these rip currents?
Yeah.
It was the same thing.
Really?
It was rocks. So it was like a wall of rocks. It was like a peak. We were like on a little island almost, where it peaked, a peninsula. So it was water on both sides, and their parents were on this side. We were all on vacation. I went with the neighbors and their kids, and my dad and I were on this side. And I, you know, the kids were in the water, and I just happened to look out, and they weren't even that far, but I could see
they were struggling.
They were struggling because the waves were coming and crashing into those rocks. But when the waves would
it
swoop
sucks
out,
you out.
But when they would go out, it was shallow, but it was so strong, and they were getting sucked out. They couldn't get back in, so my dad and I had to go out and
So you would
rescue.
You would get a kid, bring the kid into shore, go out.
No, we couldn't even make it to shore. We would go to the rocks. So it's so funny. It was my cousin Mary was with my dad and I, my cousin Mary, and we all noticed at the same time. So my cousin Mary ran to the rocks. I ran to my dad and I ran to the water. Yeah. And this is how the power of water, the people have to understand. My dad, who for some reason at the beach in Florida had $200 cash in his pocket.
Well,
in his wallet, when he ran in, he lost his hat, his sunglasses, and his wallet.
Oh.
Because the waves were just crazy.
Yeah.
So, and I just had my swimsuit on like a normal person at the beach.
Yeah.
But we were ferrying the kids to the rocks to my cousin, who was then helping them up. But I got all cut up on my shins. And I remember when I got home, I had to go to the doctor because it got a little bit infected.
But you didn't even probably feel it at the time.
No, I walked out, like you said, the Gary thing. My legs were bleeding. And, you know, so the parents... come over from the other side.
What's going on?
And they, even at that point, now that everyone's safe, and they just never really understood it, I don't think, how bad it was, how horrific that could have ended.
But you did, like, the in your head, you did, like, a triage thing. You saw which kids needed it the most.
Right, my dad and I, and we ran out to those kids and got them first, a brother and sister. And one of the girls was kind of being, she was screaming, and I had to yell at her right in her face. And meanly, and
stay with me here.
Shut up! You have to shut. Because she was panicking too much and floundering, and I couldn't grab hold of her.
Right.
So, and the other one was younger, so he was easier. And then my daughter Kaylee, she did not understand
that she was in danger.
So she was.
She wasn't panicking.
She was floating. She was okay, but she was the hardest to get up the rocks. And then once we got him on the rocks, they had to walk off the rock. You know, it was just a nightmare. But
you
anyway,
saved the day.
I think so. My dad
and I.
Yeah.
You guys were there. What if you weren't there?
And so that made me feel better because I just reacted. That was the one time I reacted. I didn't even think about it because maybe because I know people aren't going to die.
Right.
My children were never going to die in those instances. And
really,
so.
The bouncy chair down the stairs landing on his head.
Joking.
Just tell him that he wasn't in that.
Judy, I bet when they decided to name you elevator monitor at Tribune Tower, they probably thought about this.
They had looked into my background.
They probably
and they
saw
found,
a film of it, tape or something, and watched it.
Are you kidding? I at first thought, I have the elevator. I got to get the elevator open and get everyone down. They're like, no, nobody can get on the elevator. Oh, right. All right, that's easy enough.
And you mentioned the Riptide. It's like, you know, I don't swim that often, and I really don't ever go in Lake Michigan. If I go to my beach club, there's really no Riptide. There's no waves. Mm-hmm. But in the ocean, there was a pier at Seal Beach, and there were, again, some rocks that curved. And with my left knee still pretty weak from knee surgery, the waves come in, and as they're sucking back, it's like I go, oh my God, this is what a riptide is. And you're right, you're only like maybe mid-thigh high, but it is so strong that I had to like turn my body so it wouldn't break my knee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't believe how strong it was. Stronger going back out.
That's the lake too. Yeah. Lake Michigan is. I'm going next week to New Buffalo, and on the Michigan side, same thing. And actually, that happened to me one time when I was there. And again, shallow water. I literally was in shallow water, but a wave hit me from behind and turned me over.
And you lose your bearing.
I so panicked. Yeah, I didn't know which way was up, but then I realized, well. My arm sticking out of the water, so that must be up there. I mean, I was so embarrassed. It was like 2 feet of water, but it just doesn't matter. It's so strong.
I know.
That you get all tumbled around, and I mean, a little kid, you can't get out of the water, and then you get further.
I get
out.
It.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, my parents had friends. They got married. They went to Hawaii on their honeymoon. Second day of the honeymoon, they're out in the ocean frolicking about. And John gets stuck in the undertow, and it snaps his neck, and he's paralyzed.
What?
Forever, yeah. And his wife stayed with him for years and years and years, and then just because of the way insurance works, she had to divorce him, or he would have lost his benefits. So what was already an ugly, ugly story became even uglier because of the...
But did they stay together even though they weren't legally married?
For a little while.
See, that sucks that you, in order to get taken care of, you got to do something like that.
You know what? It keeps happening with older people, too. My wife works with a couple of people, and they've had to get divorced because...
Or older people don't get married anymore.
Right.
Like... Older, like over 70 and 80 year olds who hook up, they just hook up. They don't even get married.
Right. Good for those crazy kids.
Yeah, but it's mostly about benefits. It's not about being a rebel. This is a little bit better for us to do.
But imagine that on the second day of your honeymoon, you're in Hawaii, you've got your whole life ahead of you, you just married the girl of your dreams. And then just a freak thing in the ocean, and you're paralyzed forever.
Well, this is going to make my story sound like nothing, but you know, you mentioned you're in 2 feet of water and you got all tumbled. It was on our honeymoon in Hawaii as well. And again, 2 feet of water, I had my back to the waves, which I've learned since this experience. And you get tumbled and you don't know which way's up. And I was like, I kind of came to, I never passed out, but I was like coughing and I was like, oh my God. And I'm crying. And Jim is on the beach laughing at me. And I said, how did you let? He goes, Wendy, I was right here. If you were in any danger, he's a really good swimmer. Yeah. He would have saved me.
But you
me.
Didn't know that.
I had no idea. I thought that was it. I'm done. So I can only imagine what like a little kid would go through when that happens.
Sure. Yeah.
It's
you just automatically
scary.
Imagine the worst.
That might be why I haven't really liked the ocean very much, but this was all negated and now I love the ocean again after this last trip. I never had so much fun going in pretty deep too. But
oh, it's fun when it's okay, when it's
it
not
it was pretty wavy.
Yeah, but I mean, when the red flag's out, you really got to take note of that, I guess.
There are flags?
And I, it's always amazed me, the Pacific Ocean, which I always go to the Gulf of Mexico, which
right.
is
more
much,
mild.
Yeah, much more mild. But I was shocked the first time in California.
Pacific's
how,
pretty.
The waves
yeah.
are, I mean, there were surfers next to me, like, going out.
Yeah,
like,
right.
This is, yeah. And they did keep saying, though, if you are not a good swimmer, get out of the water. So maybe that was a little bit the a
like for the
day.
Whole oh
yeah
though,
when we were there
at that,
we happened to be at the beach and they were saying that and my daughter didn't even go in, thank goodness, because I didn't want to have to watch two kids, but Luke and I went in and it was I mean it was fun, but it was a little bit scary too, but that's the adrenaline rush, you know.
It's
the
pretty
waves
cool.
were big. Yeah,
when I was a kid and we would go to Delray in Florida, my friends and I would take rafts out so far out
in the
barely,
ocean
yeah you could barely see the
where
land.
Where was your parental guidance? Buying candy for the kitchen when you get home?
I don't know what would allow them
Wait,
to let us do
but
that.
But one time, my brother and I did that in a rubber boat.
Yeah.
And the whole time, my dad's on shore, and we're waving back to him. But no, he was doing this.
Come back.
Come back. We're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a boat had to come out and rescue us.
Yeah.
The lifeguard.
Yeah.
You were on rafts?
Yeah, just those little inflatable rafts. We would take them
do you
out.
Know, there are sharks in the ocean.
You know, yes, I do know
that. He knows
that,
that now.
Because you know what we would do to protect ourselves? We thought of this. The rafts that we got were all blue on one side and all red
camouflage.
On the other side. No, we decided put the blue side down so that if a shark does come, he won't see the red and think it's blood. We thought that will protect us. And it made sense at the time. We go, yeah, that any shark would see blue. They go, well, it's the ocean. That blue is good.
I mean,
red
did it take
blood.
You like... 3 times as long to get back then?
It took
how
a
did
long
you get back?
Yeah, we just paddling back, and it took a long time.
And you weren't panicking?
We went out, not even a little bit.
Because that's key. As soon as you panic and try and get... Because they say to... Don't they say to swim at a diagonal to get
yeah,
past
along
that
with the way. But although they've
riptide,
changed that recently.
Well, remember in Turks and Caicos, I was on a paddle board.
Yeah.
And I went out to sea, and my daughters had to come and bring me back in. I could not get back in.
Yeah.
I
think the lifeguard had to come and get us. We
yeah.
couldn't. We had little paddles too, but it was too hard.
The guy at the resort said we lose two. And when he said lose, he meant we get them back eventually. We don't just give up on them. But he said 2 or 3 times a week, somebody's out in the ocean and they just float away, and we have to send a boat
that
out.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Hey,
weren't
come to our resort
attention?
And float away.
I was so busy trying to keep my balance on the board that within minutes, honestly, I look
it doesn't
over,
take
I go,
much.
Look,
yeah.
The shore's right there, and I'm trying to balance and trying to balance, and then I look up,
uh-oh.
And the shore's way, 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 way off.
How and see, I would have panicked, and I would have just given up.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm like, come get me, shark.
Well,
because I can't go in the ocean that far anymore because of sharks.
Because of that?
Yeah, my unreasonable fear.
We just had the guy from the shed on, Steve, and he said only 6 shark...
Globally, a year.
Shark attack. 6
Wait,
people die. From sharks.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, many more get bitten.
Yeah,
right.
But that'd be a great scar to show off to people.
Yeah.
Remember that girl, that surfer who got like part of her
leg.
Stomach, or was it her leg?
Well, there was
maybe
a surfer
was her
whose
leg.
Arm was cut. No, her
oh,
arm
yeah,
was
yeah.
bitten off. That surfer, yeah.
And
she doesn't
went
have an
back
arm.
To do it, but she said...
She's a really... Yeah.
I
that
would,
took her a while.
I'd take up a new sport. I'd go, that's not a good sport if there's something taking a bite out
Although,
of it.
Although, what are the odds of it ever happening to her again?
Right. Yeah.
And that was Hawaii, by the way.
That was in Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah.
Right, right. Wow.
And I know, and now I never dangle my limbs off anything in the ocean.
In the ocean or out of the
she
ocean.
She doesn't even do it off her bed.
No, not here. That didn't work. Judy, thanks for hanging out. We'll take a break.
I guess. Hopefully tomorrow will be a little bit.
We hope so.
Healthier.
A little cheerier.
Never know what this bonus hour is going to entail.
I hope we help people.
That's why we're here, Jude.
Be careful of sharks. Don't go in riptides.
We're not quite sure which way to swim in, but we do help.
We do. All right. A break. We'll close things off next. It's Bill and it's Wendy at WGN.
What another fun day on the stream, huh?
Yes.
I'm so glad it's back.
Yes. We all are.
That did not sound convincing.
There was a void. There was an abyss. There was a gap.
Fall into the...
Deeper.
I can't.
Fall into the gap.
Where's Hard Rock and Coco when you need them?
I know. Where are they? All right. That's it for the Wednesday edition of our show. We're thrilled that you listened and hope you will listen again tomorrow for the special Thursday edition. Should be a good one. Stick around, everybody, for that. It takes place tomorrow. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.